Church, say amen. God has been good to us once again. God's goodness, His grace, and His mercy just keeps flowing our way. And if you don't think you have been blessed, just think of the alternative where you could have been this morning. But you are still here, and we are still here, and we are still glorying and thanking the Lord for His goodness toward us. I decided that I won't mess with success, so to speak. We've had several baptisms in the last few Sundays, so I want to continue in that same vein that I've been preaching in for the last several weeks or so. So with that said, we're going to turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 45 through 49, where this scripture was read for your hearing. So let us thank God, let us go to God in prayer right now. O righteous and wonderful Heavenly Father, we have been blessed. We know we have been blessed because we are able to call upon Thy name this morning. We are still here, O Lord, and we thank You, Father, for we know that all of our blessings flow from You, from heaven and down to the earth for us. Thank You, O Heavenly Father. Thank You for the sunlight as it shines so brightly. Thank You for the rain that poured down upon us on yesterday. And thank You, O Heavenly Father, for whatever You send our way on tomorrow. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, for all things, everything that You send to us. Thanking You right now, O Heavenly Father, for Your Son, Jesus, the one who went to yonder's cross, hung, bled, and died that we might live. Thank You this morning for the Church of Christ this morning that came because of the grace and goodness of Jesus. Thank You, O Lord. Thank You, Father, for the leaders of this congregation. We pray for them and their families. We thank You, Father, for all of the families of this congregation. And we pray for those who may be having troubles and strifes and tribulations this morning. We just pray that You already know about it. And we thank You for addressing the issue for those that are in need of Your help, O Lord. And I believe that all of us need Your help. Thanking You, O Heavenly Father, for all of the brethren that have taken part in the services thus far. And we thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every one of them as well as their families. We thank You for all of the families of the congregation, but in particular, O Lord, we pray for those families who have sick members and those in the family who may be sick. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that You would continue to give them strength that they may be able to come back and be with us once again. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are raising up children in difficult times and difficult circumstances these days. But, Father, with Your help, we know that they can get through it. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, because You are God, we owe You everything and for everything as well. Thanking You right now, O Heavenly Father, as we continue on in these services, we pray, Father, that things would be found acceptable and decent and in order in Thy sight. Thank You for everything, and in particular Your Son who went to the cross. And for all of these blessings, we are eternally grateful, and we continue to ask for Your continued blessings. In the name of Your Son, Jesus, amen. The scripture was read for your hearing from John chapter 1, verses 45 through verses number 49, and we shall reread it. Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. This morning we want to talk from a subject, come and see. Usually when one comes to Jesus, they have warm thoughts, high expectations, a greater sense of security, and for the most part are excited to tell others of their experience. Here in today's text, we have Philip speaking to Nathanael about the great news of finding Jesus. Now, some find it difficult to believe the Bible's teachings about Jesus. But when one speaks in person to another, it is sometimes a little bit more believable to, and more of a believable experience unto an unbeliever. Jesus spoke unto Nathanael and he confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus is waiting for us today to come see how he can change us as well. Coming to Jesus first must entail us hearing of and of and about Jesus, believing that he is a Savior of those who want and desire to be saved. So this morning, as we continue, come and see, first thing that we must do is we must admit that I am a sinner. And you ask the question, will he save me? Will he save me? What will, or better yet, what does Jesus do for the lost sinner? First and greatest of all, Jesus does for us what he came into the world to do, according to Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save those which are lost, that which was lost. Just in case one would want to call a witness this morning, for he too testified of Jesus. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 15, Paul wrote, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Now, somebody may say, "But Paul, I thought he was one of the good guys." Well, we've got to notice the answer in Acts chapter 22, and reading from about verse number 3 and following, Paul says, "Truly, I am truly a man. I am a Jew. I was born in Tarsus, brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, taught the Jewish law and customs, and was zealous toward God. I persecuted Christians to their death, putting others in prison, both men and women." For you see, Paul was not always a child of God, but he some kind of way found his life meeting Jesus. And his life from that day forward was never the same. Your life too can be changed when you come see Jesus. The last time when I spoke to you about bringing souls to Christ, today we are talking about what happens when one does come to Christ. After one meets Christ, there will be a change in your life. Come see, the Lord will not turn anyone who comes away from him, according to John chapter 6 and verse number 37. We are assured if we come, he will accept us. And you know, that's a good thing. Because some of us got some truly heavy baggage we're carrying. Some of us got much luggage. If we went on an airplane flight, our baggage would cost us more than the tickets cost us. Some of us have a lot of baggage in our lives. But we are assured that if we come to him, he will not turn us away. So when you think about it, church, when you look at the subject this morning, come and see, all the Bible is telling us is we need to come to Jesus. We need to come to see Jesus. We need to come to see how wonderful Jesus is. And then somebody may ask the question, will he hear my prayers if I come see him? Well, we are told in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, that we are to pray about everything, to let our requests be made known unto God. We are to pray for even little things that we think don't make a difference. We still ought to be praying about those things. A Christian should live without the cares of this world. Now, that's not to say that we are not going to face the realities of this world. That does not mean that life won't come upon us. But what it does mean is that we have a place, heaven, and someone, Jesus, of whom we can call upon. When troubles do come, and I guarantee you that they will come, troubles will come, and they are going to sometimes be too big for us to handle. They are sometimes going to be too great that they are going to cause us distress, cause our spirits to become burdened down. This is when we need to be in a right relationship with God. We need to have God's mercy and grace all of the time when we are going through this life. But we first must know Him. We must have met Him in order that we may call upon Him. Now, I'm not saying that a non-believer cannot call upon God. But I believe what 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15 has to say. It says, I will pray thee with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding. Now, I want you to notice something. If you have never met Jesus, certainly you won't have the right spirit, nor will you have the right understanding in matters of Christianity. We have heard it quoted many times, but just to keep it us in mind of it, I'm going to quote it again. In James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. This helps us to know that the righteous must be righteous not only in their prayers, but also in their spirit as well. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, well, without faith is impossible to please Him. And he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, how can you seek Him? And how especially can you be diligent if you never met Him? That's like saying, I'm going to go out and just meet somebody on the street. I've never seen them before in my life. But I'm going to put all my trust and confidence in them. You cannot do it. So after one has come to Jesus, will Jesus hear their prayers? Well, you need to come see. Jesus can hear everybody's prayer, but does He answer all prayer? That's a whole nother question. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 66 and verse number 18, God was speaking. He said, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. I take that back. That was the psalmist speaking. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. God has not changed His statutes on sin and unrighteousness. Since the days of old, one thing I do know. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 22, the Bible says, whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. So you see, in order for your prayers to be answered, the Bible is telling us we've got to get right and be right with God. Now again, and once again, I'm not saying that God does not hear everybody's prayer, but God listens and hears the prayer of His righteous folk. Now does that mean He's going to answer everything we ask for? I don't think so. Because some things we ask for, we don't ask for in the right spirit, and we don't need them and need some of the things we ask for in the first place. Sometimes we get selfish and we want stuff that other folk have. Therefore, when one has come to Jesus, He will hear our prayers when we remain in Him. So then the question becomes, if He'll hear my prayer, how will He stay with me? Will He stay with me? The apostle wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. For those who have met the Lord and never put their trust in Him have not come to really know Him, that they too shall suffer some things in this life. But the writer is saying, I know Jesus. I know Him. And I'm not ashamed that I know whom I have believed in. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, in other words. The Lord will stand firm, and we've got to stand firm and wait upon Him. When one truly meets Jesus, he or she puts their trust and their soul in the care of Jesus. Jesus is the good shepherd who will never leave His sheep. But I know there are some who would say, well, I believe Jesus has deserted me. Well, Jesus has never and He never will desert us. We desert Him. We desert Him. When we walk away and turn our backs on Jesus, it's not Jesus that's turning His back. It's us that are turning our backs. Jesus will never leave. God will be with us when we go through life's storms. He will be with us in our old age. And that's a pressing subject on a lot, most of us now, because even though you may think you're getting younger, you're not. You are getting older, and God will be with us through that old age. And yes, He will be with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. All we have to do is continue to remain with Him. What should we do to keep Him with us? Well, in Proverbs chapter 8 in the verses number 17, God said, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. If you seek Him early, now what is He talking about early? That don't mean when you get up in the morning. That means early in your life. You've got to learn to seek Jesus. You've got to learn to seek the Lord that you may find Him. That should bring excitement into anybody's life when they come to meet Jesus. The text speaks of Philip finding Nathanael, saying unto him, we have found Him. Now this is not in your Bible, but I just believe that Philip was excited about finding Jesus. I believe that he had all of this excitement built up in him simply by the words he chose. He said, come and see. The statement caused Nathanael to raise a question in verse number 46. Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Come and see if anything good can come out of Nazareth. Now I tell you something, church. The best thing that ever happened to mankind, I'll tell you, did not come out of Nazareth. For Jesus was born in Bethlehem, not in Nazareth. So it came out. He happened to be in Nazareth, but He came from Bethlehem. So Philip did not say to Nathanael when he said to him, come and see. He did not say, you go and see. He said, come and see. Instead, he sort of, to me, was insisting that I'll go with you if you want to come and see Him. Not I'll send you, but I'll go with you. How many folk are guilty of saying, I'll drop you off at church, but I'm not going in with you? How many parents have told their kids, I'll drive you right to the door, but I'm not going in with you? Oh, they may not say I'm not going in, but their actions speak louder than their words. They drop them off. I'll be back for you in an hour. That's a way for me to get some free babysitting for a little while. But that's not the case. Philip said, come and see, implying that he would go with him. I will go with you, not him sending, but let's go together. Today, if one does not know Jesus, we need to go together, that we may come and see Him. When one comes to Jesus today, we can't see Jesus like Philip and Nathanael saw Him. We must rely on our faith to see Him, with our believing that one day we shall see Him. That's why the Bible tells us that we must worship Him in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit, church. One day we should see Him as He really is, though, according to 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. And I asked the question this morning, why would someone leave their lives in danger of not knowing Jesus in the pardoning of their sins? Why take the position of not needing Jesus? For I know in my Bible it tells me that He is coming again according to Revelation chapter 1 and verse number 7. He cometh with clouds and every eye shall see Him. So because we cannot see Him today, that does not mean we won't ever see Him. That does not mean we should not find Him. But look at the excitement once again in Philip's voice. Philip finding Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found Him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write about. See, they knew about Him, but they had never found Him until now. Philip said unto him, come and see. And then when you drop down to verse number 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to Him, and He said of him, behold an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? How do you know me, Lord? Well, Jesus answered him and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Jesus can see all of us. And He knows just what's going on in our lives. And somebody say, well, I'm not a Christian, so Jesus doesn't see me. Well, I got some news for you. Jesus sees everything. He is the all-seeing eye. He knows about everything that goes on in our lives. We cannot see Him today, but we must still find Him while we still can. And though we can't see Him with our eyes, we can see Him through His handiwork, and we can love Him with all of our heart and soul. Do you remember in John chapter 4 where the woman of Samaria came to the well and she was coming to get water, coming to the well to draw water, and Jesus happened to be standing around the well, or Jesus happened to be at the well. I don't know whether He was sitting or standing off the top of my head, but Jesus was at the well and He said to this woman, He said, give me a drink. And she said, why? I'm going to paraphrase here and cut it a little short because my time is running close now. Jesus said, give me water to drink. And after Jesus went through a teaching moment with her, He taught her a lesson about life. She went into the city and she said, guess what? Come see a man which told me all about what I ever was did in my life. Don't you want to know this same divine man today? The man who knows all about us. The man who died in order that we may meet Him. The man who holds the key to life everlasting. Come see Him today. Receive the water of everlasting life. Will Jesus do these things for us? Well, I submit to you, we've got to come and see. So when Nathanael said unto him in verse number 48, Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. In other words, church, Jesus already knows us. He already knows all about us. So what I would suggest this morning, if you have not come to see Him yet, if you have not met Him yet, if you have not called upon your God yet, you need to learn to call upon God. You need to learn that we cannot get through this life without Jesus Christ. And somebody may say, well, I'm doing pretty good right now, preacher, and I don't even know Him. But I tell you something. There may come a day when you need to know Him. There may come a day when you may be on your sick bed and you may need Him. And to ask any sick person, most of the sick people that I know, the first thing they tell you when you go to see them, I know the Lord will make a way. They've not served God all their lives, but now on their sick bed, they want God to make a way. And I'll tell you something, church. God in His own infinite wisdom will let them know what, will let them teach them what He is going to do for them, or He will give them an indication if they come to meet Him, what they would do. And how will He give them an indication? Right in the Word of God. He's not going to come down and speak to you in person, but He's going to tell you in the Word of God. Now, I know there are some who say, well, Jesus talks to me. Well, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. Jesus talks to us through His holy word. Jesus does not send telegrams. He does not send letters of referral. He does not send anything that you can read and bring to me and show me that He spoke to you. But what Jesus does do for us is already written in His word. And all we need to do is come see. Come see Jesus. And when we come see Jesus, our lives will be changed. We may not want to change, but our lives will be changed. And I found out, sir, I've learned something. That when once you become a Christian, once you obey God, if you were sincere in your heart, every time you do something that's against what right is, you kind of know about it. You kind of feel this is not the right thing for me to do. This is not the right way I'm supposed to live. You even find yourself sometimes, and some of us, we do it quite frequently. We'll say, well, I'm just going to miss church today. God won't miss me in church, but we'll miss you in church, and He knows whether you're in there or not. We're not supposed to miss church, even though we think it's harmless. I'll watch it on my computer. It's not the same. It's not the same. You can't be at church and at your computer at the same time. You've got to come to church. You've got to obey Hebrews 10:25. Forsake not yourself the assembling of yourselves together. Somebody say, well, that didn't mean me. Yes, it did. Yes, it did. It meant every last one of us. God didn't make the rule just to apply to you and not apply to me, or apply to me and not apply to you. We've got to come and see. Come and see. Come and see. If you don't come and see, you'll never know what you miss. You might miss something Brother Jackson teaches in the Bible class on Sunday morning that might brighten up your whole day. You might miss something in the preacher, whoever the preacher is, something that the preacher might say that might brighten up your whole day and carry you through the rest of the week. Mm-hmm. You might miss a prayer somebody prayed and prayed the same thing that might be on your mind. But he prayed and you wasn't here. You didn't come and see what was going on. Mm-hmm. I tell you something, church. There's nothing like coming to know the Lord. There's nothing like having the Lord on your side. If the Lord is for you, you know the rest of it, then who can be against you? If I say to you that I got enough faith that I can move mountains, you'll say, well, no, you can't. I'll say, well, the Bible says that if you have faith, you can move a mountain. And if I told you that God is going to make a way, then I must have the faith to believe that God is going to make a way. And the only way that you can find out is you must come and see. Come and see. Come and see what magnificence the Lord has created for us in His church. Now, everybody in the church is not going to be right. Don't ever think that. Everybody in the church who did come and see Jesus are not right. All the time, especially. But one thing I do know, the church is right. No matter what the people say, the church is right. And you know, the church of Christ has been under attack for many years now. But all they need to do is come see. Because now we've introduced all kinds of things into the church worship these days. We've introduced music. Oh, they say it's just subtle music. We've changed the names of the churches, of some of the churches of Christ. We're doing all kinds of things. I even remember a woman was leading songs in one service that I went to one time. And I said, this ain't right. And you know something? It wasn't right when the church was first established, so it's still not right now that the church is out of its infancy. But you have to come see Jesus. You have to come to see in order to know what's right from wrong. So how do I come see Jesus? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will baptize you today. The church will accept you, and we will all gather around you and give you the right hand of fellowship. That's all you need to do if you've never met Him. But what if I have met Him? What preacher can I do if I walked astray a little bit? Well, we do that from time to time. But all you have to do is ask God to forgive you. Come forward in the church. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength, that you may continue on this life journey with the help of God. If this be your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Number 270.